Today was going to be a little bit different, obviously, than the normal service because the message is not going to be as long. And just to give you an idea of the rest of the order of the service, after I give a message on baptism, an act of obedience, then I'm going to transition. And this is the men's, Judea, this is the men's locker room, okay? Bria, that's the women's locker room, okay? And then I will be transitioning into my swimsuit and everything as they are, and then we'll go in. As that's happening, Tom is going to give you a little bit deeper explanation of what water baptism means from the scriptures for about 10 minutes. And after that point, we will baptize. And I believe, Jim, are you coming in? The baptismal? No, he says he's not. He's not coming in. Okay, is that because of the hot dogs and the hamburgers? Okay, can only do the hot. I got it. So I will be baptizing then, my children, and that will be great honor. So with that being said, we would greet one another, but today we'll do that at the meal afterwards. So please stay if you have an opportunity. I know Dave was bringing in some mashed potatoes. They smelled really good, and the men have been working hard out there for the hamburgers and the hot dogs. So please join us. Even if you can only stay for 15, 20 minutes, a half hour afterwards, it's an opportunity to break bread together, have a meal, maybe catch up with some people you haven't been able to, or maybe meet somebody new. Let's pray. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for the opportunity to gather here today in your house. Things often happen in a way we would not draw them up, Lord, and with different people like James and my daughter not feeling well today, Lord, we miss them, but in their absence, we gather here to glorify you and to baptize those who have decided to publicly say we are following Jesus. We have declared him and proclaimed him and received him as Lord and as Savior. So help us to understand what that means through your holy word. Help us to celebrate that today through the teaching of your word, through song, through fellowship, through prayer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look at two passages. So I look at my watch, it's about 11:20, 11:17. So I'm going to spend probably about 20 minutes talking about just a couple passages in the book of Acts and then two passages in the Gospel of Matthew before I go into the men's locker room and Tom comes up. Acts chapter 8, Philip, you don't have to turn there, you can, or if you have a Bible app, whatever you decide, or you can just listen. But Acts chapter 8, this is the account of Philip, the evangelist, who goes down to Samaria, and on his way to Samaria, thereafter, he meets an Ethiopian eunuch. And this is one example of water baptism in the New Testament after the crucifixion, burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Philip goes down and he's on this desert strip and he meets this eunuch, and we're going to pick it up in verse 35 of chapter 8, and I'm just going to read a few verses. It says, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? What's stopping me from being baptized? And Philip said, verse 37, if thou believest with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and he baptized him." Couple things here. Notice what the requirement was. Believe with all your heart. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's it. At least in this account, Philip had begun preaching Christ, specifically Isaiah 53, to this eunuch. And God opened up understanding to him of who Jesus Christ actually was. Indeed, the Messiah, the chosen one of God, the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. And after that message was proclaimed by Philip, the Lord gave that understanding. He illuminated those scriptures in Isaiah to the Ethiopian eunuch. Therefore, there was a conversion that took place. And what would be the next step? The Ethiopian eunuch said, can I get baptized? What's going to stop me? What hinders me? And the question would be for you today, what would hinder you from being baptized? The requirement is you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He paid the price for your sin. It's an act of obedience. It's not an act of salvation. Had the first part not happened, the water baptism would have been irrelevant. You could dip yourself underwater 152 times. That doesn't save you. We know by the thief on the cross that water baptism, and that's one example, is not necessary for salvation, but it is an act of obedience unto our Lord. Much like this, today I wear my wedding ring and I never take it off. I just don't. Sometimes when I'm in the sun and I get really dark, like I came back from Italy, you'll just see a white ring around my finger if I did temporarily take it off. This is not my marriage. This is not my marriage. This is symbolism of my marriage. This means I am married to Leslie. It's a symbol. Much like water baptism is that you are married to Christ, that you have put your faith, your hope, your trust in Christ, that He is the Son of God. If you have not been water baptized, I would encourage you to. Does it have to be at a church? No. Where was the Ethiopian eunuch baptized? Just in a body of water. Do you know there's people that are disabled? They actually can't get out of the wheelchair, and people will go in and dump a cup of water over their head. It's symbolism. It's symbolism. It's obedience to doing what Christ, as you'll see momentarily, told us to do. It's a commission. It's part of that great commission. And so, example number two, Acts chapter 2. Pentecost. They're all gathered together. This is Peter's first use of the keys we talked about last week or a couple weeks ago. And we're going to just look at verse 37 and 38. And the gospel, guess what? Just like Philip did in a one-on-one setting with the Ethiopian eunuch, Peter does to thousands as they're hearing the good news of Jesus Christ in their own language and they're understanding it. And they think Peter is drunk, but he's not. They think that these people are drunk. They're not. They've been baptized with the Holy Spirit and empowered to speak the wonderful works of God in a way that gave understanding to the hearer, much like it did with the Ethiopian eunuch. So in verse 37 and 38, it says this. Now, when they heard this, that's the glorious works, magnifying God through those multitude of languages, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What hinders me from being baptized? What shall we do? Listen to what Peter says. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Repent. There's another part, a precursor to baptism. Water baptism is repentance. Have a change of mind about who Christ is, like Philip gave to the Ethiopian eunuch via the Holy Spirit. A change of mind, by definition, that's what repentance is. A change of mind leads to a change of heart, which leads to a change of lifestyle, which leads to a change of speech. It changes everything. Behold, God makes all things new. You become a new creature in Christ. Repent, he says. This is what you must do. Conviction of sin comes upon you. You're transformed. You repent of your sin. He says, repent and be baptized. Baptizo, same Greek word we're going to look at. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, not some of you, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for what? The remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent, believe with all your heart, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Three pieces that are precursors to the symbolism and the act of obedience called water baptism. Let's look at Jesus. No better example. We'll look at two. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. This is in the Synoptic Gospels, the one account where Jesus says this. In Matthew chapter 3, the ministry of John the Baptist. John is baptizing people in the water, a baptism of repentance. And Jesus, as we look at Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Here comes Jesus, it says, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. John got to baptize God. Why? To fulfill all righteousness. It's an act of obedience. This had to be done. Jesus is the example. Jesus is our example. It says in verse 37, verse 13, as I just read, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto him to be baptized of him, but John forbade him. Probably a little intimidated. Saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. And you come to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, or allow it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. He says, this must be done. If we're to do things righteously, if we're to fulfill the scriptures, if I'm to fulfill the will of the Father, my Father in heaven, I must be water baptized. So what happens? And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway or immediately out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Why was the Father well pleased with the Son? Because it was an act of obedience to the Father, to be water baptized, to fulfill all righteousness. And so if you're feeling like you should be water baptized today, you still have an open invitation. You can hop in. You see, if you really want to do something, I've said this before, you'll do it, right? This morning, Tom called and said, I got some bad news. I said, what's that? It's about, I said, I've got enough bad news this morning already. No one turned on the water baptism. No one turned on the baptismal. I said, okay, well, what are we going to do? He's like, well, let me call Brian, and it might be really cold. I said, I don't care how cold it is. Okay, polar plunge. I'll do the polar plunge. Doesn't make a difference. People are doing that, you know, ice bath therapy, whatever that's supposed to do. I'll go in. It doesn't make a difference to me. Nothing will stop you today. If you want to get water baptized, you can come in with your clothes. You say, I didn't bring a change of clothes. Just come in and get water baptized. Why? It's an act of obedience. It fulfills all righteousness. It's pleasing unto the Lord. It's demonstrating before the house of God, before the people of God, I am now dead to my sins and trespasses. And when you come up out of the water, say, I am a new creature in Christ. I am following Jesus Christ, my Lord. I have repented of my sin. That's what you're doing today. So I mean that very seriously. You can come up and just crawl in or walk in. We'll help you. We will water baptize you if you're not on schedule too. That makes no difference. We're on God's schedule. Lastly, before I transition, we'll look at the Great Commission that I alluded to early, Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and Jesus has been crucified. He's been buried. He rose again, fulfilling the scriptures. And he appears in Galilee, and he gives what's known as the Great Commission. Who is that for? For the disciples, the 11 that were there, and for us today as his followers. He says this in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing, that's baptizo again, same word, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded with you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Do you think it's important? Do you think that baptism, water baptism, is so important that Jesus would mention this? One of the last things he spoke to his people was to go and do this. Teach all nations, but also baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That means that isn't optional. He's not giving a choice. This is a command. This is a commission. If you're going to follow me, if you're going to proclaim my name, if you're going to be a witness for me, then I want you to fulfill all righteousness. I want you, as an act of obedience, to go down under the water and then come back up, picturing your new birth, as Barry read, picturing your new birth in Christ, symbolizing your new birth in Christ. It's a wonderful thing. You know, I did it at the age of, I believe, 12 or 13. I'll never forget it. And I've even thought, like my daughter Bria today, we'll have a rebaptism. She asked me last week, she said, on the phone, she said, Dad, I want to get baptized. I said, well, you were baptized. You remember? She goes, I know. Kind of like, you know, like a rebaptism. What am I going to say? No? No. You can do that. Why? It's symbolism. But I could tell you this, you're only born again once. There's no being born again. It doesn't work like that. And the requirement for water baptism, the precursor for water baptism, is you are born again. And I've said this before in the past. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. This is the celebration, the symbolism, the scriptural fulfillment, an act of obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ when you are water baptized. Not as an infant. I was water baptized as an infant. I'll tell you about it. I remember nothing about it. It wasn't me doing it. I had no choice in the matter. I couldn't speak. I couldn't understand. I have no recollection. God has no grandchildren. My parents made that decision for me. I don't mind it. Fine. It's what they decided to do. I had nothing in it. You, Jesus said, you must be born again. That's a choice you must make, to follow Christ or to deny Christ. And just momentarily, two people have made a decision to follow Jesus, and we will celebrate that by this act of obedience called water baptism. With that being said, so I don't destroy the microphone, I'm going to take the mic off, and I'm going to ask our senior elder, Tom, to come forward so that I...
Use this mic because I'll be moving on. I'm only going to, Pastor asked me to share a little bit about baptism as they are preparing for it, and so I'm going to do that as best I can in such a short period of time, but the Lord can use it. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the way you work in our lives and how that you desire, Lord, to be recognized not only in us but through us. And so as we talk about baptism, ask you, Lord, to clarify our understanding a little bit more and use it for your own honor and glory in us. In Jesus' name, I ask it. Amen. Interesting. Baptism is an interesting thing that we are all acquainted with who've been in church any length of time. And you can reduce the meaning. The pastor asked me about sharing some of the meaning for baptism. The meaning of baptism can be brought down to one word, and it's the word identification. That's the purpose and the use of baptism. Baptism has been used for centuries, even by pagans, that when someone wanted to be a follower of some leader and line up with them, baptism was a way of them publicly saying it. And it was an identification of the individual with whoever they're going to follow. The basic meaning for baptism is that. What people, most Christians don't understand, though, is that in Bible, God's word tells us about two baptisms. Two baptisms. And they are both having to do with identification, but there's a spiritual baptism and there is a physical baptism. What we're experiencing this morning, we're going to observe, is the second one that I was talking about, the physical one. There's a spiritual one, which God does. There's a physical one, which man does. Both of them have, as I said, has to do with identification. The heavenly, the spiritual one, has to do with identification of an individual in the heavenlies with Jesus the Christ. The physical one has to do with identification with Christ on the earth in a horizontal relationship. And both of these are unique ways of identification. And one would say, well, why then do I need baptism? Well, I can think of at least a couple different reasons. One is that people, when they know God's word, they know the command that's been given. You know, the pastor just shared with from the end of Matthew. We are to go and let the Lord use us to develop disciples and then baptize them. And so it's a command. That's one reason that every Christian should be baptized. And the baptism doesn't save you, just like Pastor said. It's an act of obedience. And to be a Christian and not go through baptism is disobedience. It's not walking right. Another reason is, too, that anyone who's been born again gets an indwelling of the Holy Spirit who changes our hearts, our minds, and I'm pretty sure it's across the board. Anyone who's truly been born again can't wait to tell someone else about it. There's an unction there. There's an urgency there, a desire there. So not only does God command us to do this, but God also built within the new birth a desire to share it with others. So there's two reasons. Now, so there's a spiritual baptism and there is a physical baptism. Why? Well, I've already kind of answered the question. Identification. I remember hearing Billy Graham once say, God never called anybody in private, that he calls people publicly. And that's why he would encourage people to come forward at the end of the presentation and offer of salvation, and they would come publicly. God wants us to come publicly. God wants the world to know who we are and who He is, too. So the background is spoken of by the Word and explains in, there's a real need for it and described for us in Romans chapter 3. And there we read this, this description of mankind that just kind of blows your mind. We've already charged that both, I'm reading Romans 3, verses 9 through 11. We've already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks God. What is this saying? It says we're all sinners. Everybody's a sinner. And so we have a strong need there of that being dealt with, or we are doomed, if you will. We're unacceptable to God and separated from Him. Secondly, in Romans 3, just a little farther down, in verses 23:2-25, he makes mention of this, that getting rid of the sins is possible. Even better, it's available. He says here that the righteousness of God was purchased not by us, but by Christ. And after he purchases it, he offers righteousness as a free gift. It's by grace. And it's received by turning your life over to him. It's called belief taking the life and trusting him for it. Depending on that fact, that what he did is sufficient to the Father. So their righteousness is available. Okay, first, we're all sinners. Secondly, those sins are they're redeemable. They're available to get rid of, but by the person and work of Christ. And then the third part of that wonderful message is taken from John chapter 1, where he tells all of us that as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. That's the full story of a person going from being a sinner and lost and helpless and hopeless to one who is redeemed and saved and enjoying not only a life to be lived by trusting him here, but one to follow that's beyond our imaginations. And he wants the world to know about it. There's two baptisms. I'm going to talk about it as number one and number two, just for simplicity. First of all, baptism is, number one, is spiritual. It's efficacious. It saves. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says this about the first baptism that a person must have. If you don't have the first baptism, the second one is worthless. Pastor even mentioned that earlier. Listen to what God's word says in 1 Corinthians 12:13. By one spirit we are all baptized. Who's doing the baptism? The Spirit. Into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. So a person who comes to know the Lord and is born again has this baptism in which the Holy Spirit places us into the body of Christ. If you don't have that, you shouldn't get second baptism. Second baptism is the one we're here for this morning to observe. But concerning that first one, that's done by the Holy Spirit. It identifies us with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord, and it's done before God. It's how God now sees us. In fact, the nature of it is this: to be born, to have the first baptism, will be done. It's invisible. It's supernatural. It's something only God can do and does do. It's miraculous. If you're saved, you're born again, you've experienced a miracle, because it's something man can't do, and it's performed by the Holy Spirit. Second baptism, only take a second to tell you about that, because it's different. It's not efficacious. It's commemorative. It's a matter of obedience, and it is what God commands us to do. It's physical. It's not spiritual. Again, the value is one of obedience, and its justification is the result of the first baptism, and now it's going to be shared with others. Matthew 28:19, the end of Matthew there, is where we're to go and make disciples of all nations and baptizing them. That baptism is water baptism. The other one was spirit baptism, which saves. This is water baptism, which is just a testimony, an important one, and one God demands that we do. So it's done with water to symbolize the death, burial, and resurrection, and it identifies us to the world all around us. It's before the world. The nature of it is it's visible. We can see this one. And it's natural, done with natural things, water and so on. And it's a symbol of baptism number one. That's why I said if you didn't have baptism number one, baptism number two is just a waste of time and has no value. It's because it's performed by man. So the end of it is this. We're here to witness a water baptism. And it's those who have known the life-giving baptism of the Holy Spirit, where he places us into the body of Christ. It's being done here now before the world, before us. And the nature of it is visible and natural and symbolic, and it's performed by man. That's all there is that I wanted to bring in, just to show you the contrast, knowing that there's two baptisms, and these folks that are going to be baptized today have experienced baptism number one, and now we're going to share it with the world with baptism number two in obedience to God's request. It's an occasion for us to rejoice because it's a public identification with the person of Christ. Okay, we're ready for the baptism, are we not?
Can you hear it? Yeah, wow, that's a powerful microphone. All right, Tom, thank you for that thorough explanation. Kind of reinforced some of the principles I talked about, plus more. Really clear understanding, hopefully, of what this act is going to represent here momentarily. So I've decided we're going to go younger than oldest. And so before we do that, you know, I want to let you know, as many of you already do know, biologically speaking, I have six children, and Bria is the oldest. She's to my left. She's 19. And then my son, Judea, 14, to my right. I believe, based upon what I taught and what also Tom just taught you, that I would never coerce my children into being water baptized. This is not something that I would make them do because of exactly what we just taught you. But when they start to express interest on their own, that's when I'll start to investigate a bit through questions and prayer and time. Time and truth go together. So Judea had expressed an interest a while back. I would dare to say, what do you say, 1, 2, 3 years ago, maybe, Judea, about being water baptized. And we just so happened to be, last year around this time we had a water baptism, but it wasn't the time for him. But this year I just asked, I said, hey, you know, would you be interested this time around, and he said he was. So with that being said, I'll just have him share for a few moments, and then we're going to water baptize him.
All right. So I'm just going to share my story about how I got saved and how I came to know Jesus. So basically, when I was younger, I learned about Jesus, went to church, with my parents, went to the nursery, learned about Jesus, and you know, I knew who he was, and I went to school, you know, did the close your eyes, put your thumb up, or put your hand up if you want to be saved, repeat after me, whatever, and I did that a lot, and, but when I got older, I realized, I was like, I never really thought about, like, personally, my relationship with God, and yeah, so I was like, one day I was like, because when I went to other churches, and even my dad, when he was preaching, I was like, you know, pastors would ask questions, and I'd be like, I'd ask myself, is that me? Am I in the wrong? Like, what's happening? You know? Have I been sinning, and do I want to get baptized? So we went to Quinnia for a little bit, or basically my whole life, and we went to our old pastor's church, and my siblings got baptized. I didn't think I was ready to get baptized. I was young. My dad, when I was little, always asked me, you know, he was like, when you're ready, you can go, you know, do a little tubby time or whatever, and get you can get baptized in your tub. And I was like, I kind of wanted to do it publicly, and I wasn't really thinking about doing it like that, because tubby time, right? And so one day I go into my mom's room, my dad's room, I go to my mom, and I say, "Mom, what do I have to do to get saved?" And she talks to me about it, and as you can see, I'm really bad on the mic, so it's just like not really used to it. And I ask her, I'm like, "What do I have to do to get saved?" She's like, "Do these steps," and I did it with her, and from that day on, I tried to follow Jesus. And I'm not always going to be, I'm still going to sin, and I'm still going to do wrong things, and, you know, God forgives 70 times 7, and by God's grace, I'm saved, and I believe that he died on the cross, rose again, and he died for our sins, and I really wanted to get baptized, so that's about it.
Amen.
Thank you.
I had forgotten about the tubby time baptism. I just wanted to make it available, like Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch. I wanted to teach them that it didn't have to be in a baptismal, but thank you for adding that. All right, so we're not going to do the tubby time baptism. It's a real baptismal amongst God's bride, his church. But Bree, I'm going to ask you to assist me if you just, with the dip, okay? So come on down. You got to get used to the water anyways. Come on down. It's not that bad. Here, so come more to the middle. So Jew, you just baptize them under a little bit. Okay, so Judea, based upon your belief, your faith, your hope, and your trust, and what you just verbally expressed to the congregation and what God has done inside of you inwardly, becoming his child through the born-again experience encounter, we're going to baptize you. If you want to grab the nose, you can. Ready, Bree? Baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There we go. All done. Stay here. Okay? Praise God. All right, here, come in. So, Bria, now same thing, and you could tell I gave them the option to write something out or just to speak from their heart, whatever the Lord would have them to say, and they both chose that route. So now Bria, as mentioned, being 19 years old, she had made a commitment to Christ years ago, but again, just this is an expression, as was explained earlier, it can only be born again one time, but you can be water baptized again in some type of a re-baptism today with her, so I'll let her take it from there.
Okay. So I got saved when I was 7 with my dad on the couch, and I got baptized with my sister when I was 12, and so I was in, I think, 7th grade. So from then on, it's kind of been like, I knew I was always saved, but like I've definitely been through some like things, and I've always been committed to God, but like never like 100% serious. I would consider myself probably a lukewarm Christian back then, and I realized I was never going to be perfect, but there was things I could do to be better and not act like the world. So when there was a baptism on Christmas Eve or Christmas service, I've been thinking since then, I was like, I want to get baptized, but I don't really want to like ask my dad, because like he's a pastor, like that's, we're just going to do a baptism for his daughter. So when the opportunity presented itself yesterday or last week, I was like, yeah, I'll do it. And so yeah, and I've been in church my entire life, but and a pastor's kid probably more than half my life, but I feel like I was probably going through the motions just because, you know, you're the pastor's kid, so everyone's looking at you to be some sort of way. And so I feel like I thought maybe when I was like 15, okay, like I understand that it has to be my own, personal relationship, and now that I'm 19, a little bit before 19, I was like, okay, like, I firmly believe, like, that my relationship with God is my own, not my parents, so I am a child of God and not a grandchild, so, yeah.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful. I'm going to ask you to assist me, Jew. So I will baptize Bria, then we'll say prayer collectively, okay? So Bria, based upon that testimony and the confession and commitment you've made to Jesus Christ, and all part of the else, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Come here. You guys come on each side. We'll say a prayer, okay? Father, we thank you in Jesus' name, Lord, just for the opportunity to demonstrate your goodness, your kindness, your love, and your new life, your new birth, Lord. Thank you that although these two precious ones you've given to me are my children here on earth, more importantly, they're your children in heaven. So help me to shepherd them. Help my wife to shepherd them in a way that's pleasing unto you. We thank you for these gifts, Lord, that you've given unto us. We thank you for this act of obedience that brings glory to your name. And it's in that name, the name of Jesus Christ, that we pray all these things. And all of God's family said, amen. Go ahead. Thank you.